So then just give me the light and pass the jar. All right, welcome everybody. It's Terry, and I've got Chirag in the studio here. It's 1 o'clock, so we're into the 1 o'clock hour, and we are going to do a little freestyle music for the entire second hour of the show. So my entire show from 1 to 2 a.m. tonight is all freestyle music. So we got a little Stevie B, we got a little Susie, Debbie Deb, Nice and Wild, Raquel, African Bambaataa, the Cover Girls, TKA, Noel. And when we get to Noel, I'll talk a little bit about it. But we're going to start off with a little freestyle here at Don't Stop the Rock. Come on.
everybody from left to right. Who are you? It's just off the rock. Let's be stuck with a name of our heart. We start picking in the house tonight. Move your body from left to right. To all you, we still stop the rock. Good, we start speaking in the world.
right, so for all those people that didn't meet Chirag in the first hour on the show, I've got Chirag in here. He's a Queen student. He's actually in his second year of medical school. He's going to be a doctor here in Kingston. Hopefully, he's going to stay. So for all those people that didn't get to meet you, welcome, Chirag.
Thanks so much for having me, Terry.
And for all those people that did listen in or are still listening, Chirag, when we were switching over here from reggae to our nice freestyle music here for hour two, I was asking you about the type of medical stuff, and you were saying you want to do medical tech. Now, maybe you can explain that to people because it sounded really interesting. You were talking about VR and drones and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, where do we start with that, huh? I mean, medicine today is all about the technology we use. It's all just an extension of the doctor. So let's take drones, for example.
Okay, explain to me how a drone works as far as for medical stuff.
Yeah.
I think about drones flying.
Yes, drones that fly, absolutely. Okay. So if I have a patient that's pregnant and they are in a remote kind of rural community, they can't give birth there, even if me as a family doctor, I'm comfortable helping them give birth in that community because I don't have kind of fresh blood products and all that sort of stuff ready with me. All that's only available in Toronto, for example.
Okay.
But if I know my patients do, they're in labor, I can request those blood products from Toronto. A drone could fly them over in 30, 40 minutes. No problem.
Really?
Straight line, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it's going to streamline things for rural patients.
Exactly. No more of these, you know, we're driving 3 hours to Toronto to give birth because our rural community doesn't have the facilities to do so.
Oh, that's amazing. So will that actually help out with our northern communities as well then? So we've got a lot of people that live in northern Ontario where they, I mean, medical supplies and stuff are, you know, it's like gold dust. It's so hard to get.
There's actually some really cool stuff coming out of Saskatchewan on this.
Okay.
And they've just built a $50+ million facility for remote healthcare in Saskatoon.
Okay.
And so what a doctor can actually do there or will actually be able to do there is, let's say I need to see the inside of someone's liver to see if it's damaged or anything. I can put a little ultrasound on a drone that'll fly it out to the patient. And on video call, I can help them figure out where to put it and all that sort
of
stuff.
Come on, really?
Yeah.
That's insane.
And it'll give me a live photo or a recording at least of what's in there, and I can make a diagnosis from 250 miles away.
That's crazy. So that, I mean, folks, this is reality, but it kind of reminds me of the movie Back to the Future where there was flying skateboards and all these, you know, flying the DeLorean back in time or into the future. That's crazy. So that is actually happening now.
It's happening. So talking about blood products. So,
okay. Yeah.
There's this charity blood bank in Kenya, I believe, but Project Skyline. And what they do is they used to have blood that would go bad all the time. And there's no blood to start off with. You know, it goes bad over time.
Sure. It breaks down,
and you have to throw it away. What they realized when they put drones into their thing was now their reach of where they could send that blood pretty quickly increased dramatically. So blood that was going pretty bad, they could send off somewhere else pretty quickly so that somebody else could use it before having to throw it out.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That is really, really cool.
Yeah, and there's some really cool research now that we're doing at Queen's here in Kingston on blood products and medical devices and that sort of stuff for the transport of medical equipment.
That's wild. Okay, we're going to play a little Susie here, and then we're going to come back, and I'm going to ask you questions about rabies.
Amazing. Sounds
all right,
great.
So I'm going to ask you some questions about rabies. All right, here we go. Little Susie, take me in your arms.
Thank you.
All right, we're keeping this freestyle going with a little Debbie Deb when I hear music. But it's great to have Shiragan. I got to be honest, having him in the studio tonight's a lot of fun because I'm picking his brain on all sorts of stuff. And I was telling him that, questioning him about vaccines and specifically ones for rabies. And I said, I understood that they were made from mallard duck. Huh. And you looked it up. I don't know what you used.
Yeah.
But you looked it up and you were saying, yeah, that's true. It's not a fake story.
No, it's not a fake story. It turns out rabies vaccines probably 10, 15 years ago were almost entirely manufactured in India, something called PDEV, purified duck embryo vaccines.
Okay.
So the embryo of a duck, and there's, I haven't looked into it too much, but there's some sort of compound in there that fights the rabies. So it's literally just that.
Wow, that's crazy. So it is a true thing.
It is a true thing.
Yeah, okay. And but now you're saying it's more done by AI?
Well, so thankfully for us now, we grow them in cells. So it's still the duck cells and whatnot, but we grow them in little dishes and we take the compound out of there. So it's no longer a black, tarry, purified duck. It's more of a liquid.
Okay, cool. Yeah. That's pretty neat. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about the, you were talking about using VR and tech and stuff for, and that's surgery. So is it, are you seeing it blown up in the VR and then you're doing it, are you actually doing the surgery or is it being done mechanically? Because I've seen that as well.
Yeah. So robotic surgery would be a cool application. What we're doing right now is just with your hand kind of surgery.
Okay.
I have a couple questions for you first, though.
Sure.
How many hours do you think a pilot gets in terms of simulation training before they actually fly a plane?
Okay, so it's not a fair question because my son-in-law is an Air Force pilot with the Canadian military.
Okay.
All right.
What's your answer there, then? How many hours?
It's 10,000.
10,000, yeah. At the very minimum, your basic power pilot's going to get at least 2,000-3,000, and then Air Force, more than that. Now, here's a question for maybe one surgical technique. How many hours do you think before going into real operating room a medical student practices that technique?
How many hours?
Yeah.
2,500.
On average, the stats say medical students practice techniques about 9 hours.
What?
Before they get into the operating room.
Crazy.
Yeah. Most of the learning, and a lot of people might not know this, but most of the learning is done in the operating room on a real patient.
Okay. So they're there with an actually training surgeon then.
Yes.
Okay. So it's that you're practicing stitches on an orange or whatever I've seen that where they're doing stitches on a piece of fruit or whatever.
And there's some simulation stuff in the lab that you can use, but after about 9 hours on average of that, you are doing your stitch on a real person.
Okay. Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
I'm okay with that. And the reason I'm okay with that is as long as there is a teaching surgeon, everybody's going to start somewhere, right?
Okay.
So I'm actually okay with that as long as, you know.
That's amazing. I think, Terry, you're the first person I've seen that's okay with the nine hours. Yeah.
I think it's fine.
Okay.
I mean, you've had some time, you're understanding it. You're not just coming off the street. You also have a medical background at that point, right? If you're if you're the ability to go into a surgery, you've got a lot of training behind you, right?
Yeah. You've got 4 years of medical school at least, plus about a year of more surgical focused training. And then of course a 4-year undergrad before then.
Yeah. So you're eight, nine years
in.
So that's a lot more than 9 hours in theory, right? Like, I mean,
exactly. For that very specific skill, it's about nine, but yes, there's a lot more behind that. So with the VR, the point is that you can simulate a lot of that stuff with the technology. And so on top of that 9 hours that they do in the simulation lab, a surgeon, a resident, whatever, could go into the simulation lab late at night.
And just practice
as many times as they want.
That's awesome.
Over and over.
Yeah. It's like doing playing the little game. Doctor, where you pull out I forget what it's called now. Operation.
Where
you pull out the TV.
What's his name again? I forget
the guy's name. We'll look it up while we're on the next song. All right, here we go, guys. We're gonna play a little Diamond Girl by Nice and Rich. This has been Nice and Wild. Sorry, this has been fun. Actually, this is great. All right, here we go.
Feel what I am feeling, then the truth is just believing. You're my diamond girl.
Huh.
doctor's getting so fucking hot. Yeah,
this doctor takes your dreams about the seats.
Make your body sway.
Socialize.
Get down.
Let your
soul lead the way.
Shake it now.
Go, ladies.
It's a living dream.
Love, life, live.
Come play
the game.
I'm rolling free.
Do what you want, but free.
Chirag on some stuff here. I was just asking him how many languages he speaks, and he goes, four? All right, so tell me what they are.
The four, English, of course.
Yeah.
Un peu de français aussi.
Okay. Do you speak fluent French?
Pas bilingue, mais conversationnel.
Conversationally.
There we go.
All right. I got that part. I don't speak any French.
No French at all.
No French at all. I didn't grow up in Canada. So,
no, but yeah, you grew up in Ireland.
Right.
Yeah.
So French was not an option. Latin? Or Irish. Those were your options.
Do you speak Irish?
I do not. My parents speak fluently Irish.
Okay.
Now, it is becoming very much popular again in Ireland, and especially because of all of the stuff going on in the Middle East and the Irish culture. They want their culture, and they're really pushing for a combined Ireland. So the South and the North being one again. So, it's political, but I'm not going to get into that.
Yeah.
But the Irish language is making a huge push right now
to become
back.
That's good to
hear. Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's the other?
The other two, Hindi, Punjabi, and then I understand Urdu because it's very
Urdu.
Similar.
I would have got, that makes sense. Now, we're going to talk about school versus being in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
How much time do you spend in the hospital in the first 2 years? Because you said they're kind of split up, right? So how much time do you spend in class? Like, what's a crazy week?
Yeah.
A regular week, I guess. Is it crazy?
Well, a regular week, sort of a typical week, like 8:30 to 5 in class.
And, okay.
We'll have some clinical skills practices. We'll have lectures. We'll have case-based learning sessions. So they'll give us sort of a case and we'll work on it with a team. But in the first 2 years, you spend maybe a couple hours a month, a few times a month kind of thing in the hospital.
And is it more general practice? And then so it's your generalist and then in your second or your third and fourth year, you're actually deciding on where you're going to go?
Yeah, pretty much. It's more so split up, I guess, theory and practice. So you learn about everything you're going to need to know in the first 2 years. Family medicine, surgery, blood stuff, liver stuff, everything. But just the book stuff. And then the second 2 years, you do rotations. So third and fourth year, you'll do 6 weeks in surgery. You'll do 6 weeks in the heart clinic. Like you'll go all around. And
is that to help you decide what you want to practice?
Exactly.
Or is it to help you determine that your skill level is better in one area than another?
It's a bit of both, and also to develop your procedural skills, because at this point you've never really cut into someone, you've never really given an injection, you've not done all of that sort of stuff. So those last 2 years, you get to do all of that.
After 9 hours of practice.
Those are your 9 hours of practice.
Oh, is it? Okay. So you do that, you actually go in and learn in that 9 hours.
Yeah.
You get that.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
You get some clinical skill time in the lab, and then you go into the hospital and you practice that with your supervisor and... basically to get you ready to practice on your own.
And then what happens after your 4 years? Do you have to write an exam or how's it done?
So you write the licensing exam for the Royal College.
Okay.
And you pass that and you go on to residency.
And how long's residency? It's a long time, isn't it?
That one can be a long time. So it can be anywhere between 2 years for family medicine, for example, up to 5 years for general surgery. And then you can add on as many years as you want to that for further training.
Okay, so if you were doing just general practice, would you just be in a general practice office for that time period?
Exactly.
And but if you want to work in a hospital and do surgeries and all those things, you're assigned to a hospital.
Exactly.
And you get all those terrible shifts.
Yes.
Overnights.
Yes.
And so, okay, all right.
Yeah.
So just like on the TV shows.
Just like on the TV shows. Have you seen The Pitt? The new one?
Yeah, I have. Yeah. I haven't watched it religiously. I like Chicago Med. I got to be honest. I like my Chicago Fire, Chicago Med, and Chicago PD.
Yes.
I like them all together. They're pretty good. But
that's a good franchise.
Same type of thing, because they're always working these crazy shifts.
They're always working. I would say The Pitt is probably the most accurate of all of them on what actually the life's like for people. So if you're interested in that, The Pitt.
All right,
that's
now I'm going to have to go and watch The Pitt.
Exactly.
When I get home at 2 a.m. or just after 2:30, I'll watch an episode and see what I think. All right. Well, we're going to continue on with a little more music here. We've got the Cover Girls doing Show Me.
Be
Well, Chirag, I got to thank you. It's been a lot of fun having you on the show tonight. And I just want to thank you for coming in, spending a couple hours with me, and letting the audience know a little bit more about what's going on in the Kingston medical scene.
Thanks so much, Terry. It's great to be here.
Yeah. So your show, you're thinking, when you think your show is going to be out?
Yeah, we're starting to pre-record now, and it should be airing at some point in the summer.
Okay, and hour show, 2 hour show. What are you thinking?
It's going to be an hour show.
Okay,
it's going to be bringing in people from the community, experts in the field, talking about some of these policies, and really hearing from patients on how these sort of high-flung policies actually affect people.
Okay, well, what's the show going to be called? Do you have a name for it?
It's called Health Beats.
Oh, Health Beats.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'd like a little heartbeat or whatever at the beginning of the show.
Exactly.
Or whatever. Okay.
You're an expert.
Yeah. No, that's pretty awesome. I'm really excited for it. That sounds fantastic. I can't wait. And if you want to come in and hang out on our other show as well, and
absolutely,
you know, and let that audience get to know you. I mean, these people are night owls, but everybody needs a doctor. And maybe at some point in the near future, you'll be accepting patients, right?
In the next decade at some point.
In the next decade. That's crazy to think.
Yeah.
But you're right. It takes a long time to be to practice medicine. Anyway, thank you very much. We're going to end off, as we always do, with Over the Rainbow. Here we go, guys. We're going back into the darkness, and we'll see you next week.